This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed. This week, our podcast is brought to you by BHP. Reducing greenhouse gas emissions in the production of copper is critical. That's why BHP has committed to solar, wind, and battery agreements to help power their copper mine at Olympic Dam in South Australia. It's happening now at BHP. Visit bhp.com/critical to find out more. Claire, we're going to ask people listening to please share our newsletter and our podcast with their friends come the end of this episode. This episode will explain why.
Doesn't even have to be your friends. It can just be anyone. Your barista, your hairdresser, whoever you want, really.
For years now, you've been really keen on people sharing the Squiz with their barista.
I have lots of chats with my baristas, so I'm sure that's entirely appropriate. And yeah, this is all about exactly some big changes that are coming down the line for publishers.
Yeah, potential or not potential, we will see, but there's certainly moves afoot, is the way to put it. News Club is the place to go for conversations about the news. I'm Kate Watson.
And I'm Claire Kimball.
Claire, we always start News Club every single week with the context. So let's give it. At the start of this month, Meta, which is the mega US company that makes big bucks in ad revenue from Facebook and Instagram, their social media apps, announced they would not re-sign deals with publishers said to be worth about $70 million a year. Those deals were done in 2021 with a handful of Aussie news publishers.
And it sets in motion a possible chain of events that could, for a lot of publishers in our industry, have some really negative effects. But also, we want to talk to you about what it means as a news consumer. And when we say possible and could, what we're saying is there's still a lot to unfold.
There is still a lot to unfold. Let's get people across why there was a reason to do these deals in the first place.
Okay. So going back a little bit, the advent of these tech companies, Google, and the big social media companies, so Meta, Facebook and Instagram are the two big apps that they have, It changed everything for news media publishers. They hoovered up all of the ad dollars. So you used to pick up a newspaper back in the olden days and you used to see an ad, or you might even put a classified ad in if you were trying to buy or sell something. So all of those dollars went to these big platforms, and that left the publishers high and dry. You know, just to add salt to the wound, you were then seeing news content on these platforms, and the publishers are saying you're actually driving traffic to these apps because of that content, so you should pay for it.
And it's our content. So what we're talking about is content that publishers are still producing, but it's living on places like Facebook and Instagram and on Google Search. Everyone's had that experience of seeing news on a social media platform. Those publishers argue that Meta and Google should be paying them for the use of that content. This conversation is a lot about money, but it's a lot about what you believe when it comes to the editorial integrity of what you're seeing, and a belief that journalism in the way that it's produced and news in the way it's produced traditionally is the way to go. That sort of sets the scene as far as the history. Fast forward to 2021, Josh Frydenberg is our federal treasurer. The ACCC and him come up with this idea of the news media bargaining code. That means that if Meta and Google didn't come to a deal to compensate for that news content, they would be forced to do so. That code has never been enacted. It didn't need to be enacted because private deals were done with publishers here in Australia, big publishers and a couple of small ones, to compensate them for their content.
And drum roll, why we're talking about this now is those first deals are coming to an end.
Yeah.
So we're 3 years on from that. When it came to Meta, they did these three-year deals with the likes of Nine and News Corp, The Guardian, some smaller publishers as well. Not enough is what us at The Squiz might say, and plenty of others too. But it's coming to a crunch point about whether the government actually looks at the code now and says, we'll whack you with that stick.
Well, the reason for that is because Meta has publicly announced that they won't be doing deals.
There
was a table that you could sit at and say, you know what, we would like you to pay for our content. That table is gone, evaporated as far as Meta's concerned. Google is still a dot, dot, dot. We don't really know. So just park Google for a little bit. But as far as Meta's concerned, they've been very clear. There's a couple of scenarios that could play out. One is they could be designated, which means that the code would then be enacted and they may be forced to negotiate. Most say that's fairly unlikely.
Fairly unlikely, and Meta has been very clear that it's not going to do deals. So there is this tension at the moment about government and Meta and what that conversation is. And when you're Meta, you've got an example that you can actually call on, which is what they have done in Canada in the last few months, which is pull news content from Facebook and Instagram altogether.
Yeah, so that's sort of option number three. In the middle there is a lot of legal wrangling and who knows how that might play out. But just say option number three did happen and they pulled news from their platforms here in Australia. You could actually log on to the Squiz Instagram or Facebook account and it would have a message that says, people in Australia can't see this content. Plain as day, and it wouldn't be there.
That's the experience in Canada. If you're the New York Times or the Squiz or whoever, if you're in Canada at the moment, that's the sort of message that you would get. So as you can imagine, there's a fair bit of discussion about what all that means.
There sure is. We've got skin in the game, as you can tell, but we've got three really helpful pieces of news coverage to help you come to a view about where you sit with it. Claire, as I said, each episode of News Club, we pull out three, four, sometimes five, six, maybe two pieces of news coverage that you might.
My head is exploding. It should be three, and we've got three this week.
It's three this week. That helps people wrap their head around the topics. So you can find them in the News Club newsletter. If you're not signed up to that, there's a link in your episode notes to sign up. They're also, ironically, on our Instagram account at the Squiz News Club.
That's helpful, isn't it?
You can only laugh. Let's start with a piece by Tim Duggan. He is the chair of the Digital Publishers Alliance. He's also the co-founder of Junkie Media.
Yeah, so he knows a bit about this. And just to declare our hand, we're members of the Digital Publishers Alliance. I'm also on the board, which is very fancy, mm-hmm. I know. So it's important that you understand, you know, we
where
could be a bit conflicted when it comes to this, but we'll do what we always do and give you a straight line through this. What Tim talks about is those deals that Meta did with the News Corps, the Nines, many DPA members didn't get a seat at the table at that point in time. And that's something that he really wants to call out.
He also talks about his experience as the co-founder of Junkie Media. Junkie Media was founded many, many years ago, back when Facebook was very different, quite new. He says the company I co-founded, Junkie Media, was one of the key beneficiaries of an extremely tight relationship with Facebook. He says they employed dozens of journalists to write catchy headlines and create daily video news series for Facebook, for that platform. And this is the argument many are making. It's that when news suited Facebook, they were all in. Now they say they don't need it anymore. They say users don't want it. They don't want to deal with all the responsibility that comes with having news on your platform. So they've kind of just left.
And by moving on, they've left many publishers with businesses built on their platforms because that's where their audiences have been. Mm. It's how publishers find new audiences as well. And for many, it's also how they monetize. It's how they get traffic from social media to their websites. And they also do some interesting things on those platforms that are commercial.
Yeah, that's right. I guess he also, and look to the philosophical question, he asks this question that without news on the channels that people are on, it's not just the news industry that should be worried, it's the future of a functioning democratic society. And this is why it matters to you who are listening, news consumers.
Yeah, so Tim says, and this is the quote, the biggest impact of all will be on everyday Australians who will see the rise of rabid misinformation and disinformation in their daily consumption and with fewer media sources left to tell them what's the truth and what is the wild, unchecked conspiracy of your auntie.
I don't know whose aunties are sharing conspiracy theories. Mine are all good, actually, and I've got a lot of aunties.
You do.
Do you have any crazy aunties sharing wild conspiracy theories?
If they are on social media, I haven't connected with them, probably for a very specific reason.
The other thing about this is that Meta has said that people don't want news on their platforms. They're not using it. They've de-emphasized news. So they've announced they've gotten rid of their news tab on Facebook. They've done that by changing their algorithms. Claire, let's move on to club pick number two.
Yep.
Ricky Sutton's podcast.
Yep.
We're kind of new to Ricky Sutton. Late adopter of Ricky Sutton, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. We're fans, though.
We're fans. He really cuts through. He's a journalist. He's also a tech entrepreneur. He's now the founder of Future Media, and he's really deep on this stuff. His view, to summarise it bluntly, is that publishers have been caught sleeping. There's no time to feel sorry for ourselves. It's time to get clever. Is that fair?
Look, many would say that is very, very fair. And just a couple of points to pick up in his podcast and why it's worth a listen. The first is that he says that the Australian news industry got time when it did those deals in 2021. And his contention is, he's a bit flummoxed, why the publishers didn't do more with that time to prepare for a world when Meta was always going to pull out.
Yeah, that's certainly his point of view. But many publishers will argue, just to balance this out, that they've done a lot. They've built things out, like more lifestyle offers in the case of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, more podcast and newsletter content in the case of so many of our peers. Crikey laid off a significant number of staff around Christmas in anticipation of this deal running dry. There's been lots going on for months ahead of this, years ahead of this.
And the other point I think that Ricky makes really well is that we can have very philosophical questions about democracy and the power of big tech and what it means for users. But ultimately, this is a conversation that comes down to money.
As so many things do, of course. And then he talks about the fact that Meta, and probably Google, have moved on. He said they're focusing on building artificial general intelligence, or AGI, and news has no place to play in that. It was only a matter of time before we had to talk about AI.
And we both had a giggle. He used AI to write a fictional press release. And in this fictional press release is an announcement between the Australian news publishing industry and Microsoft and OpenAI. Mm. And the deal is for a trusted generative artificial intelligence. His view is that that is the deal that should be on the table for publishers when it comes to looking to the future.
One thing that he says publishers have that these big tech platforms, particularly when you look at this development of OpenAI and ChatGPT and all of the, you know, conversations about whether it's good for the world or bad for the world or whether robots are going to kill us all or whatever, is that we have trust. And this word trust is sort of at the core of what we all do. And we don't have any answers.
No. Exactly, because I think it's at the heart of a lot of conversations about AI. Can we trust it? And the idea that there's already all these people doing professionally produced content, they're a really good set of people to talk to when it comes to building sets of information that you might want to dive into.
Tricky one, hey? Mm. The final club pick today is a piece from the New York Times from a few weeks ago, so before all this happened. I found this one and thought it was good to throw in the mix because it helps demonstrate how this conversation is relevant to us and to democracy. We've talked about that a little bit. Let's go from Ricky's very practical approach to the more, as we've said, philosophical one, how audience behaviours are changing, the real challenges to legacy news publications in its view. This one's titled Instagram's Uneasy Rise as a News Site. It's about why in this year's presidential election, more people are turning to Instagram for news, even as the platform tries to de-emphasise political content.
Yeah, and it also highlights that for every publisher that wants Meta to pay for their news content, there are plenty who just aren't so concerned about that.
There's someone else to create content that isn't them. So yeah, who's exactly in for the fight if it's not everyone?
But even for them, it's a tricky prospect because Meta can change their algorithm as they have done over and over again, and all of a sudden the content that you're putting forward doesn't get surfaced when it comes to users.
I found it really interesting how this article was set out because it sort of was this idea that there was all these very successful news influencers on Instagram.
News influencers, don't you love it?
But then it quickly went to what's happened more recently, which is that Instagram have very openly said, we're not really going to prioritize political content during an election year.
And, of course, you don't have to look too far back, 2016 and 2020, when it comes to exactly that debate in the United States. There have been lots of hearings in Congress hauling Mark Zuckerberg, hauling the tech leaders before the Congress to explain what has happened with election results and the mis and disinformation on their platforms.
Mis and disinformation. We have skin in that game too, of course, Claire. We haven't mentioned Squiz Kids and our media literacy program, News Hounds, but yeah. I feel like we should. This is all designed to teach the next generation how to consume news and how to understand it. I'll finish with this, though, as far as this club pick goes, because I thought it might resonate with a lot of people that listen to this podcast. The quote from a news influencer is that my friends who are millennial mums are busy. They have jobs, they have kids, they have to put food on the table. They don't have tons of extra time to consume news and they were already on Instagram. So this goes to two thoughts, I guess, to leave people with. One is that this is where people are. So the question is, shouldn't publishers be able to try and at least find audiences through those channels? And if they're not there, what does that look like? Mm. Two, If they aren't consuming news on social media, they'll probably be consuming something else. Is that a good thing for our intellect, for a healthy, informed citizenry?
Yeah. Big philosophical questions, those two things.
I tell you who has thoughts on this.
Tell me, Kate.
Squizzes.
Amazing.
Before we get into what might be in the news next week, a message from our podcast advertiser, BHP. This week, they're keen to share with Squizzes how the resources they mine are key to the energy transition to renewable energy.
Yeah, we often hear about the push towards renewable energy, but what doesn't get as much attention is the role resources play in making that transition possible. Take steel, for instance. It's a key material used in the construction of renewable energy infrastructure, as well as in bridges, transportation, hospitals, and schools. And a big part of it comes from iron ore.
BHP says the importance of responsibly produced Australian iron ore is clear.
And by that, they mean reducing the greenhouse gas emissions associated with iron ore production. It's why BHP has committed to a solar and battery agreement to help power their port facilities at Port Hedland.
It's happening now at BHP. And if you want to learn more, visit bhp.com/critical. You'll find that link in your episode notes. This is the comment section of News Club. Claire, we asked Squizzes who are signed up to the News Club newsletter a simple question this week. Would you care if there was no news content on social media? They're pretty clear.
Yeah, well, pretty clear result. So two-thirds said no, they wouldn't care if there's no news content on social media. A third said yes, they would care. And it really potentially underlines Meta's point that people don't care. They don't come to the apps to get news. The number they use in this debate is that just 3% comes to Facebook and Instagram to get news. They say that when they kicked publishers off their platforms in Canada, it didn't lose them a set of eyeballs.
Yeah, to quote their statement, Meta says users come to connect with people and discover new opportunities, passions and interests, and they need to better align our investments to our products and services people value the most. You can't help but ask the question, I mean, what is news? How would they define news? And what would be blocked if they did do that?
Yeah, exactly right. The answer is we don't know. It's all very vague at the moment. In Australia, you might remember in 2021, Facebook just shut down and blocked those news pages. That was when they were having those discussions with the Morrison government. It didn't block news content. It blocked publishers.
Publishers, yeah, exactly. So we had a question about this. Someone asked us on Instagram, again, ironically. I think this is so interesting because when you say news, people automatically think highbrow stuff. But would we lose the lowbrow too, like the red carpet looks from the Oscars? It's a fair point.
Look, you would lose that sort of content, that Oscars red carpet content, if it was produced by the Daily Telegraph or the Guardian or the Squiz who posted that. That Squizzer, though, could curate their own red carpet gallery and that could be shared widely on Facebook or on Instagram, or they could share their hot take on the nuclear debate, for example, that's happening at the moment, and that seems to be fine.
Yeah, I asked the question, so if Anthony Albanese puts out a, you know, an Instagram reel saying what his policy is on education, that won't be blocked.
No.
Because he's not a publisher.
He's not a news publisher.
But if a news publisher wanted to repost that, then you wouldn't be able to see it on their account. So all of this we don't really know.
Yeah.
It's just a what if kind of at the moment. But they're all really fair questions to ask. Looking at the comments in the poll, Squizzes are also pretty specialist self-selected people who care about the news, of course. So it's no wonder they have a radar on what the quality of news on social media is like.
So whether they care about it being on social media might not be a thing for them because they get news like from sources like us.
Which
directly.
A lot of people said, I wouldn't trust news on social media.
Yeah.
I don't trust it anyway. When I want to go to news, I go to the sources that I like. I wouldn't just have it served to me.
Yeah.
They're quite, and you who are listening are quite specific about where you get your news.
Yeah. And when you get into some quotes, that issue around trust really did come through. One is, wouldn't trust any news on social media. I don't really trust it anyway, although I think I do click through it quite often.
Yeah.
So we do use it from time to time. I'm also another one. I much prefer to get my news from dedicated news outlets rather than it being filtered through social media sites.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of you saying how much you like the Squiz newsletter and podcast and how you like, as I said, to source news, not have it served to you. So because of all of that, we have a request. We've already asked you to please share our newsletter and podcast, but we'd like you to do a short survey where we ask you a few questions about how we plan for an uncertain future.
And that's really important to us. We do survey our audience from time to time, but we've got some really pointy questions when it comes to exactly what it might mean for us. Would you pay for news? Would you pay for things that we might do? We're really interested to know what you think about that idea.
Yeah, we're feeling okay. As we said, we really believe in a direct relationship with our audience, and a world without social media to worry about actually sounds great.
Oh, yeah.
To us in so many ways, but we have to grow. We need people to know about us. So if Instagram and Facebook are no longer an option and we still don't know what Google is doing, we're going to have to shake things up a bit. So we'd really appreciate it if you can take that survey. A link is in your episode notes. Final thoughts, Claire.
We're right in the guts of all of this, of course, and this has been a really helpful exercise just to come back up a little bit. Mm. Kate, you and I were having a conversation that in a lot of our conversations with publishers and also with people who are in these companies and around all of this, the actual conversation around what it means for the user, for Australians, is sort of still to shake out a little bit. So we're very interested in that, of course. The other is these kind of two extremes. Does Meta just go quietly? Does the government make a decision just to let this sort of go? Or do they designate, which is the term that we said before, that they use the code to actually try and go after Meta to force it to the table, and Meta pulls out? That has some really devastating effects for some publishers, but there are certainly the big publishers who are really interested in the government going hard. So it's a lot of possibilities and a lot of tension going on at the moment. The short story is, for publishers, it's actually all bad.
Yeah, exactly. There's not one view of the world necessarily, and we certainly don't seek to speak for all publishers,
because
whoever you talk to, it's a completely different situation. It can be a different situation. My final thought, Claire, I think I'm going to have to go with trust. I've had about a million final thoughts in the recording of this podcast.
A million?
Oh, I've had I've had a lot of thoughts about this one, about lots of things, actually. But that's not what we're here for. There was a trust survey out the other week about brands. Meta was the second least trusted brand in Australia. News Corp was the fifth. So trust in legacy media is low.
Yeah.
Trust in social media platforms is low. Tells me we have skeptical audiences looking for other options. So as people who run news businesses with very high levels of trust, we have great levels of trust here at The Squiz, I'm going to see all of this as an opportunity.
Oh, glass half full.
Glass half full.
We do have a good opportunity, don't we, I think, to really double down on this conversation that we have with Squizzes. And, you know, we just like to be there to make life a bit easier for you.
It's all an opportunity. News Club is the place to go for conversations about the news. We hope this has been helpful. Please continue to engage with the newsletter. We love it when you do. We had, again, hundreds of people taking that poll, so many comments. And can I say irony three times in this podcast?
Yeah,
and ask people to please follow us on Instagram at The Squiz News Club. You may not be able to do it for much longer. We
could be there for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah, you better do it. Kate Watson, co-host of News Club and The Weekly Wrap, jumping in here to say thank you for listening to our podcasts first and foremost. And if you like them, we'd really appreciate it if you could share them. Tell your mates about us. Tell your family. Tell your barista, tell your hairdresser, whoever you think might be interested in the news that we cover. You telling people about us is still the number one way we grow. Thanks in advance.